And welcome again to The Age Stage. Great to have your company. Hi, everyone. I'm Brendan Telfer, and this is our weekly look at issues and matters affecting older Australians. And, of course, it is made possible by The Village Baxter, The Village Glen, and Encore Living for that regional alternative. Brendan Telfer in the studio. Welcome once again, everyone. Paula Dunn is alongside me today. Paula, welcome. Great to have your company, and welcome back another week. Here we are.
And what a magical day.
Magical day, beautiful week. The sun is out, the birds are chirping in the trees. We've got a studio full of punters as well, which is great. But firstly, to let you know what's happening today, it's Seniors Week, and we'll be catching up on the big festival a little bit later on in the program. But firstly, in the studio today, we have with us Paula.
We have Tom Camp from Encore Living, Damien from the Village Glen, and Stuart from the Village Baxter. Welcome, everyone.
Hi, Paula. Hi, Brendan. Hello. Tom, good to see you. Damien, good to see you. It's like a bus trip. Hello.
Sounds like a daylight saving set.
I need a flag.
It's fantastic.
It's
marvellous. So, gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. Paula, thank you for being here. If you're joining us for the first time, as I said, this is a program that looks at issues and matters affecting older Australians. And last week, there was a particular subject, a little bit confronting in terms of a newspaper article that Stuart brought to our attention from the local newspaper, local press. Stuart Shaw, general manager, of course, of the Village Baxter, a little bit concerned about the thrust of the journalism in that particular article. That particular program pricked up the ears of Tom Camp as well, who joins us from Encore Living today. And Tom thought that maybe, and I'm sure Stuart and also Damien agree, that maybe we should rejoin that discussion. Tom was particularly interested in looking at some of the numbers associated with the discussion, in particular, who pays what, what sort of profit margins there are. Do you want to elaborate on your concerns in that particular area, Tom?
That's a terrific smile, Brendan.
Thank you very much.
Stuart, what I actually felt that we should actually attempt to do is because some of the specifics in that article, you know, probably gave a very lopsided or one-sided view, was to maybe recenter the discussion or the argument about the importance of having good financial solutions for seniors coming into our retirement and independent living arenas, particularly because of the impact on what it's going to cost government in the future to house ageing Australians. And I think that it's generally regarded in the community that if you have, you know, rogue contracts and rogue operators, the ACCC will deal with all of that. I think from an industry perspective and the message that the industry would send to anybody considering the living choice options in retirement, like a retirement village, is that it is a well-regulated industry. It is frequently reviewed, and the contracts and the financial arrangements are getting better and better and more able to assist ageing Australians in maintaining a sense of well-being and good living environments as they grow old.
Can I say, Tom, then, that being the case, is it that the marketing needs to be better? I mean, why do we hear so many, as Stuart said last week, so many really, you know, negative stories about the industry? So do you need to up your marketing?
Or can I pipe up and say, is it the journalism? Is it the nature of the media beast that is beginning to feed itself now, and you guys are open slather and you can be picked off by a journalist that maybe has a rather sharp little knife that they want to jab into you?
Mm. Yeah, from my perspective, there's a couple of issues. If you look at where the story first started to get traction, it was about retirement villages. And there was a flurry of action between providers to try and ensure that the community had a good understanding about what a retirement village is. Because certainly journalists confuse the issue between what's a retirement village, what's an aged care place, what's a special accom, or any of the other myriad of options available to people. But the story then morphed in the last fortnight to talk about aged care specifically, about how providers are allegedly ripping off consumers, and it's all glitz and mirrors and, you know, the old thimble, smoke and thimble, you know, that it's not all what seems. So there's really two threads to the story that have been evolving over time, and neither story is actually looking at the fundamentals of a product. I mean, I agree with Tom that if you look at the cost and who pays as part of the equation, then there'll be a better understanding from all concerned. And last week I touched on the reality that hospitals are funded $1,000 a day to care for someone in acute care, and rightly so, up to $1,500 a day depending upon their need, whereas aged care is funded by government up to $200 a day, which is a marked difference. So if you look at the care components, consumers need to understand the difference between what they're getting and what we can offer. In the retirement sector, you know, it is radically different. We are providing accommodation, and that's our fundamental core business. Now, with that, we provide a whole range of other services. And if you do your sums, you will find that retirement villages do provide really good value for money. If you understand the dynamics of what you're getting, it is never going to be a financial investment. You are investing in a lifestyle. And we've tried to always portray that honestly on this show, that, you know, it is, you are not going to become rich out of buying into a retirement community, but you will have a lifestyle that is unparalleled for what you would have had living in your home on your quarter acre block. And that's the difference between the products which the average journalist, in fact, not only the average journalist, which most journalists and many in the community don't understand.
So I guess that's probably, just picking up on your point there, Paula, that's probably a reason for you guys to get on the front foot a little bit, I guess, in an environment like this, and be able to tell the good story. And the good story is that you're very proud of the services that you are providing.
Yeah, and if you recall when we first started the show, Brendan, it was on the basis that our goal is to try and educate the community about things they need to know as they age. You know, what are the options for both living, for care, where that can occur, how it can occur, and what it's likely to cost you. You know, we're not here flogging a product. We are here to simply be purveyors of information. And we will answer questions if people want to ring in or write in. And we'll try and give the community an understanding of topical issues as they arise.
In your instance, Damien, sorry, Tom, we'll get to you in just a moment, but in your instance, Damien, you're probably in a slightly different equation, aren't you? Because you have done a tea tree. You're providing care at a much greater level, I guess, than the regular retirement home.
Sure, so absolutely. So the distinguish between the retirement village, which is supported independent living, versus total care in a residential aged care facility, is marked.
And the cost factor, therefore, is probably what I'm driving at, would be marked as well, would it not?
Sure. So again, what Stuart was talking about, that $200 a day is what we get for our highest of high people in residential care. So that's someone that needs full assistance, full care, may have behavioural issues and cognitive impairment. They may need palliation. That's what we get to provide services. I think part of the issue in the industry at the moment is there's this mixed match between what an aged care facility should really be. An aged care facility started off as a home for someone to move into when they couldn't maintain their own home. Aged care is now a pseudo-palliative care unit. It's a pseudo-hospital.
Yep. Exactly.
We're trying to prevent admissions into hospital. We've got teams in all our public services, public hospitals that are sending people out to keep people in the aged care facility. But the funding doesn't really match what the care they'd be getting if they were in the hospital. And you have people who come to us and expect a hospital level of service on...
Indeed, and I think this is where Tom was coming from after he heard some of the discussion or read into some of that discussion last week, that people are going to have to start crunching some serious numbers. And I think that's where you were coming from last week, was it not, Tom, when we spoke off air?
Yeah, it was a heated discussion, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
No, look, I think that listening to what Damien's just indicated gives a clear and concise understanding of what an aged care facility is, right? And the basis of the services provided in an aged care facility is built around a highly regulated financial arrangement. And the financial arrangement, while there's some commonalities with it per individual client, the individual client's circumstances are taken into account when the consideration of the commitment to the services and the amounts of money, the RADs, DAPs, and all of that associated with it. So it's sometimes different strokes, different folks, depending on what the individual circumstance is. The same with independent living retirement. And it's interesting you've saying how the transition of an aged care facility, or what we would call initially a nursing home to stop people from going to hospital, we're actually having to do that now with the government's strong policy implementation, where they want aged care packages to be delivered in home to people. And that's to stop people from actually having to go to aged care and or hospital. So we, as the independent living retirement arena, if you like, we're needing to engage in that and start educating people around that, coordinating people to go and have their ACAT assessments, etc., which is something we've never had to do before. As Stuart's alerted to, in our original days, we were just providing accommodation with some services that was, you know, efficient and economical. Can I just throw something into the pot? My personal opinion, and this is half the issue, is most independent living retirement situations, most aged care situations, whilst there is a fundamental service or provision of service given to a person that would reside in the facilities, is it's primarily a financial arrangement. And the best way I can describe it, if you bought an annuity in a life insurance company, say a lifetime annuity, they sit down, contract X amount of money you're going to get for the remainder of your life, and that's what you get, that's what you live on, that's where you go. In our arena, we have a set of financial criteria where people give us money, we provide accommodation and services as part of that, and when they leave, their estate is released X amount of money under the financial formulas that we have.
And it is those formulas which have caused some disquiet in some areas of the media, and that's basically a serious question that a number of these sort of media articles have questioned, and it's your handling of that return into those estates which has caused some alarm, I believe.
Yeah, and as I said, there is different villages in our independent living villages, that's how I'm talking about, there are specific requirements in the Victorian Retirement Village Act that we have to abide by. And simply for me, and the way I operate, Stuart, is within 26 weeks, the amount of money that's required, whether the villa is sold or unsold, goes back to the client or the estate. I think, Stuart, you have a different arrangement, don't you?
We pay people out on the day they leave.
On the day they leave.
So we're a bit of a renegade in that regard, but that reflects the maturity of the village, that we've been going long enough to have the cash resources behind us to enable us to do that. So we're not reliant on a resale of a unit to come in to then fund an outgoing person. And you know, if you look at the dynamics of retirement villages, I mean, most are reliant upon a resale of a unit. Now, from a consumer's perspective, you know, that means, you know, if you look at the whole financial equation, then that means that some time can elapse, and providing there's a mechanism by which the consumer is not disadvantaged if they need to move into a residential aged care facility, then all is good. Okay, all is good. Mm. And most villages follow that. I mean, if you use Tom's illustration, the maximum is after 26 weeks, then you will pay them out. Is that?
Yeah,
that's what the Act says, Stuart, and that's only if you haven't sold the village.
Yes.
If you've sold the villa,
then it happens.
Yeah. I was at a business lunch, I think I mentioned to you, Stuart, a little while ago, and an elderly lady was telling me how she sold out of a lifestyle village or retirement village and was actually going into yours. And she had
that's a good plug.
Yeah, she had to wait 13
cash for comments.
13 months, Stuart, to get her money.
Yeah,
which yeah.
Well, that's absolutely wrong, and that sort of behaviour is unfortunately, in the isolated incidents, is what's bringing a little bit of the industry.
Yeah, and they're the issues where a journalist doesn't look fully at the variety of arrangements that occur. You know, you seize on the rogue element. or the perceived rogue element, and that means everyone's tarred with the same brush. Yeah. No different to aged care. You find someone who does the wrong thing for whatever reason, it may have been an accidental, it may have been, you know, incompetence, whatever, and then the whole industry is tarnished with the same brush. And that's not the case.
We're looking at this particular issue today on The Age Stage, of course, a program designed here by us at RPPFM with our friends from The Village Baxter, from The Village Glen, and also Encore Living. We have Stuart Shaw from The Village Baxter, Damien Malone from Tea Tree at The Village Glen, and also Tom Cam from Encore Living with us here today. We're going to take a bit of a break, and on the other side of it, we will resume this important conversation. You're listening to The Age Stage. And welcome back to The Age Stage. Great to have your company on 98.7, 98.3. This is RPPFM across the Mornington Peninsula and well beyond. You're listening to The Age Stage, a program which we've designed here to look at issues and matters affecting older Australians. And we're joined in the studio today by our regular guest, Stuart Shaw, General Manager of Village Baxter. Damien Malone has dropped by as well from Tea Tree at the Village Glen. Thank you, Damien. And also Tom Camp is back with us live in the studio today from Encore Living for that regional alternative. Before the break, we were talking about media portrayal of the industry, some concerns. And just before the break, Stuart, we were talking about the rogue element within the industry. How then do you guys collaboratively go about and tidy it up or redress the wrongs that you perceive of being hurled at you?
Let me ponder that question. Let me think about a response to that question. What we're doing, the industry has come together to talk about how can we make the offering clearer to people, and how can we try and ensure that operators abide by a code of ethics or similar type of process. And most of the major players have agreed that that is something that is worth doing, and they're trying to just work out the mechanics as to how that will actually take effect. And I think that's a good thing. You know, you need to be able to trust the people to do the right thing who are providing you with goods and services. And that's the same in any industry.
So that comes down to information. I think, Paula, you were making that point earlier on, that people have to be informed and very, very clear about what it is they're entering into.
Yeah, I think it's really important to get the semantics right. So you need to be, with these stories that come out, yes, we know that that's not absolutely not the majority, but somewhere along the way it has to be explained clearly, you know, more clearly. There is a, like we were talking about before, you know, you've got nursing homes, retirement village, lifestyle village, you know, 55s and over, you know, and it's all been bundled in together. I think it's got to be explained more clearly, perhaps.
And that was the thrust of this whole program as well, Damien, when we first put it together, actually, that we could get into some of these topics so that, you know, in fact, it was described to us, I think, by Peter and you at one stage, Stuart, that there's a tsunami coming and it's our responsibility to get across some of these definitions and understand this conversation before it smacks us in the face.
Yeah, and certainly from my point of view, there's so many resources out there through the government, through private financial advisors, legal system, and that for people to actually get advice and become informed. You don't have to go to the first village that you visit or anything like that. I think with villages, it's a little bit easier because people aren't generally in crisis when they're moving into a village. They're moving in because they're making a decision to change the style of their life. Yeah. Compared
generally, there may have been a trigger to cause people to look at a village. But generally, they are the fit older people who are planning for future. But Peter would, in fact, call them planners. Yes. You know, they are the educated consumer who knows what the future is going to hold, and let's now plan accordingly for it.
And the educated planner, according to Tom, is heading out to the regional alternative as well, Tom.
For absolutely.
Encore Living. I mean, you're putting together some great packages out there.
Retirement hotspots, mate. No, just kidding.
We're getting the PR.
Can I just, I actually think, and I would support Damien, there is actually a lot of information out there. The reality, though, is that you need almost independent experts to help people guide guide retired people that are looking at the different options on the way through. And I would say it's not simplistic, not so much that it's not difficult to understand, but it's not simplistic in that there isn't really a one-stop shop that can actually give you the whole lot. For example, today, and you would know this, Damien, with your promotion of FlexiPlus, we've got a very similar promotion or type of arrangement package in Gippsland called Encore Home Support. And it's effectively a collective of care services, a collective of ourselves, where we provide property advice associated with people, whether they needed renovations on their home or whatever, that's not where I wanted to go, and a financial planning arm to help people make good financial decisions. And when I was at the local medical centre today, talking to the key charge nurses and the gatekeepers there, and they are as confused about Mac, my aged care, and all of that sort of stuff as well, and the complexity of all the different types of expertise, the different services being provided, is actually huge across the broad health sector. So that's our challenge, right? Is to it's not just retirement living, it's not just aged care, it's now embracing finance planning, care providers, and a whole lot of different ones in the mix.
And government as well, because Stuart, you've raised this whole thing in the past as well, that you think that there's some responsibility that the government agencies have here as well.
But simply put, the whole system needs to become easier, because it is too wretchedly complex for consumers to understand, for providers to interpret, and for governments to manage. You know, no one is doing well out of the current complexity of the system. My aged care is still error prone.
That's a polite way to put it.
I was looking for diplomacy. Thank you, David.
That was very politically correct.
It was. But the minister knows my particular views on my aged care.
But that's a good thing. The minister does know, because, again, he was a special guest on the program, and he conceded that there are some issues. But obviously the government's got to really move this thing along a bit.
You know, from my perspective, I reckon the problem is actually simple. It's simple to solve. The government has no role, or very limited role, in providing accommodation. They erred when they changed the legislation in 1997. Before that, they had no role in it whatsoever. So where people choose to live is their right. If they want to move into my nursing home, well and good. If they want to move into a retirement community, well and good. If they want to stay in their quarter acre block, really good. Government has a responsibility to fund care. And if you treat aged care as a Medicare type of process, where government determines this is how much I'll pay for your hip replacement, this is how much I'll pay for your appendix to go out. So, you know, let's say it's $500 for your hip replacement, which the hospital's going to get. If aged care was funded along a similar line by saying you'll get $200 or $100, whatever it might be, there's the amount of subsidy that the Commonwealth is prepared to support your level of care. If the actual cost is going to be greater than that, then the consumer needs to pay, no different to what happens in the acute health sector. The accommodation is simply a matter for the consumer. In 98% of cases, there are disadvantaged people who do not have assets or some financial base, and they will always need support and assistance. But that doesn't mean that their choices will inevitably be limited, because government only has so much money. Now, the benefit of adopting a Medicare style, I don't want to look at Damien or Tom while I make those comments, because they're probably going to lynch me, but the benefit for government is they then know this is our commitment to our financial obligations out of taxpayer dollars. There's not this vagary of ACFI and, you know, supplements for whatever it might be. And, you know, aged care could easily be funded on a 10 or a 12 scale funding model, tied into a Medicare schedule, and treat it the same. You know, none of this acquittal of, you know, the nonsense that's currently going on in community care, where you refund the subsidy to the Commonwealth or the consumer if it hasn't been spent. Well, I would love to see that work in the acute health sector. Go and say to the orthopaedic surgeon that's charged $1,000 for the hip, I want you to justify that cost. Because if I'm going to pay for it, then I want to know that there's $1,000 worth of work and material gone in there. Otherwise, give me some money back, Mr. Orthopod. It doesn't work that way. It's just a ludicrous approach to the way in which we fund services.
Stuart, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and that's really what I was getting to, Brendan, with our off-air discussions last week, is that we really need to shift the discussion now towards who's responsible for what. And the government's dilemma, they don't want to be responsible for housing, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Indeed, and the numbers that you presented then were absolutely frightening and totally, totally alarming. And so that's indeed where we did kick off the thought for this particular segment today, Tom. We we thank you very much indeed for bringing it around and where we started about 20, 30 minutes ago. Tom Camp, thank you very much indeed. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about this in subsequent weeks.
And part three next week, isn't
indeed,
it?
Well, it wow. could be. I mean, if you think it's serious enough, by all means,
This is really serious because we have a responsibility. The government wants private and not-for-profit to provide all of this accommodation and services. And in some ways, while it's there to help and facilitate it, to some degree, it has to butt out and let us get on and do what we're good at.
Damien, would you like to join us again next week and resume this ongoing conversation?
It's pretty feisty around here, Damien.
And we might need reinforcements. Who broke up the fight last week?
And you as well, Stuart. I hope that you can come back and join us again next week. Would you like to go round three with us?
You know my renegade views of a world.
Wonderful.
He's got his red tie on today too, Brendan.
Thank you. He has indeed. We'll be back in just a moment, Paula, but thank you very much indeed. Stuart Shaw, the General Manager of Village Baxter. Stuart, thank you very much indeed for dropping by today. Damien Malone as well came up and joined us from Tea Tree Services Day at Village Glen. Thank you. And, of course, the conversation today kicked off with Tom Camp from Encore Living. Gentlemen, we look forward to you joining us all again at the same time next week on the 8th Stage. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with a lot more. And we're looking forward to talking, Paula and I, with the Parliamentary Secretary. You're on RPPFM across the Mornington Peninsula on 98.7 and 98.3, heard across the peninsula, of course, and very much further afield as well. The Age Stage is the program you tuned up to, made possible by our friends at the Village Baxter, the Village Glen, and Encore Living for that regional alternative. Victorian Seniors Festival is on us once again, and there's a whole lot being planned for us seniors over the next month or so. We thought it might be very appropriate, and we're very honoured to introduce Parliamentary Secretary Sharon Knight, who joined us on the line from Parliament House. And Sharon, thank you so much indeed for joining us on the 8th Stage today.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's lovely to talk to you, Brendan, and to Paula. And
hi,
can
Sharon.
I also say hello to my mum, who lives in Mornington, if she's listening. I'm sure she is. Hi, Mum.
Congratulations. Yeah, well, good on you, Sharon. Thank you so much indeed. Well, a lot of people are beginning to listen to us down here at RPPFM, and we're very proud about what we're doing down here. And, of course, we take this program, The Age Stage, very seriously as well, because we and our contributors feel it's very, very important that there are a lot of issues confronting older Australians, and we really do need to get our heads around it very, very soon.
That's absolutely right. And it's a real privilege for me to have this role. It's a role that I'm really passionate about, and you're absolutely right. We do need to start thinking more about older people and how we can best support older people, but also how we can best celebrate the contribution that people make into our community is quite substantial.
And especially down here on the Mornington Peninsula as well, because I think we're the second oldest demographic in the state, and a lot of older Australians do love coming down here to share our lifestyle with us as well, Sharon.
Well, that's right. And, you know, have been a fairly frequent visitor there. It's easy to see why. You live in a beautiful part of the country. Not as nice as Ballarat, but I have to say that.
Sharon, yeah, of course you do. We don't get those lovely chilly mornings that you do
up
there.
They're bracing.
They are. They're absolutely beautiful. But the Seniors Festival, it's on us again. It's the 35th year. It's very, very important to the government.
That's amazing, the 35th year. Wow.
Yeah, and you know what? I think I'll say that this 35th year is going to be the best one yet. And, you know, I think that people think, oh, Victoria's Seniors Festival, you know, it's a bit of fun. And you know what? It is a bit of fun. But there's also some important messages behind it, like you were talking about before, Brendan. And, yeah, this year's festival scene is You're Welcome. And you know, not in that ironic way that my 20-something children use the term, you're welcome, but in a way that means that everybody is included. And you know, we have everyone from our community, you know, who can celebrate Victorian Senior Festival. So I think that's really important, and I think it's great.
And the government underwriting this event, I mean, so many festival events as well, Sharon, over the next few weeks or so. It's an extraordinary number of things that you're getting up to.
Oh, have you seen the book? You can actually pick up the book from
Yes,
me.
I've seen the book. It's great.
It's incredible.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I'll just put in a plug. You can get it from any Coles supermarket, local library, council, neighbourhood house. And the danger is if you start reading from the front of the book, by the time you get to the end of it, I think the senior festival's over.
That's how
many events there are. It's wonderful. But what is really great about it is that there are events everywhere in regional Victoria, metropolitan Melbourne, and, of course, in Mornington. Mm-hmm. And there's free metro and regional public transport for all senior card holders from the 8th of October until the 15th of October. So there's absolutely no excuse for anyone to not go to an event.
So basically this sort of policy of encouraging the festival and our participation in it sort of reflects a broader government policy, basically that we have to get proactive and take responsibility for our own lives as we get a little bit older.
Yeah, I think so. But I think sometimes people may need a bit of help too. So, you know, there may be people who find it difficult to get to public transport to go to events. So we have to make sure that everyone is supported, that everybody in our community, whether you're an older person or not, has the opportunity to participate. So, you know, I think it's really important that we have events that, you know, can encourage people to be active, that encourages people to perhaps come out of their homes, not be so isolated, share their viewpoints, their feelings, their skills, their expertise, their jokes with everyone. And I think that just makes for a really healthier life and a happier life, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. And so, Sharon, do you have a particular favourite event?
Well, I'm looking at the event in Federation Square because I love Federation Square, I have to say, so good old Fed Square.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kickoff one. That's the celebration day, and that's on Sunday the 8th of October from 10:30 until 4. So anyone can go there, older Victorians, their friends, family, and there'll be live music. There'll be roving performers, dancing and fitness demonstrations. So I think that will be just a wonderful kickoff event that will really set the mood for the week. I also know that the zoo is having some special programs that will take place, and senior card holders will be entitled to special offers, including zoo tours, musical performances and keeper talks. I don't think anyone's too old for the zoo. I really don't. I think it's a fabulous place. And you know, I love how they have, you know, the Twilight concert now.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's a real coup, and there are some regional concerts as well. So if you're in Bendigo or Queenscliff, Tolankata or Warrigal, there'll probably be a concert somewhere nearby that you can head to.
No, it's absolutely brilliant. And as you were saying, Sharon, the difference and the number of different events that you have as well. I mean, you know, abseiling at Mount Buffalo, concert tours, crochet events. Is it exclusively for the over 60s, or do you think others could get involved as well?
Look, I hope that others will get involved. You know, for example, as I just said, at Fed Square, that's for family and friends as well. Obviously, there might be some older members in our community who may need a carer with them. You know, they may have a disability or just need somebody to go with them. So I hope they don't feel like they can't go if they need to take someone along. I'm sure that is absolutely fine and would be a wonderful addition.
And are there community buses and other forms of transport for people who can't perhaps, you know, get around so easily?
Yeah, well, I would really encourage people just to check with their local councils or perhaps go online, look on the calendar of events, but probably check with the local community centres, neighbourhood house or local council to see what sort of supports may be available if there is a need to get to some events. Some retirement villages, I think, may run some buses to some of those events. So just check where, you know, around your neighbourhood, or carpool. Mm. That might be a good idea.
Yes, that's a great idea.
Good advice. Mm. Parliamentary Secretary Sharon Knight, thank you so much indeed for talking to us. Sharon, quickly before we let you go, once again, where can people pick up information if they do want to involve themselves in the Seniors Festival?
From Coles Supermarket, local library, council, neighbourhood house, or you could call 1300 135 090 and request a program to be sent with you, sent to you, or hop online, seniorsonline.vic.gov.au. And before I go, can I thank you both, Brendan and Paula, for the wonderful work you're doing in promoting this event, and also the work that you do in promoting activities and the lives of older people too. Thank you so much for that.
Well, it's our pleasure, Sharon. Thank you so much indeed for taking the time to speak to us today, and all power to you and everybody involved in this big event as well. And I hope that Sunday goes swimmingly for you all.
Terrific. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sharon. Bye.
And we thank the Parliamentary Secretary, Sharon Knight, very much indeed for her time. Well, Paula, that is pretty amazing. We're through another program as well already. But yes, before we go, perhaps mention that our friends at the Village Baxter have got an open day coming
up. So they have. So the Village Baxter Fete and Open Day is on Saturday the 14th of October from 9 till 11. So there's lots of cakes and crafts and pottery and things like that. Books, food, trash and treasure, delicious Devonshire tea, and some musicians playing there. Ian Smith Jazz Quartet, Peter Stanley and Dave Ashby, the Grumpy Brothers, they're called. Don't know why they'd be called the Grumpy Brothers.
No idea.
And also the Mount Aaron College Music Department, which I have heard is quite outstanding.
It's brilliant. So that's the Village Baxter. It's happening on this Saturday week, the 14th, most of the day. What times were those again?
9 till 1.
9 till 1. Yep. Open day at the Village Baxter. Well worth a visit. Paul and I were down there, actually, when we went down to interview the minister.
Yes.
And the welcome that we got was sensational.
It was.
We love the Village Baxter.
We do love the Village Baxter.
And there's some very, very dear people there down there that will really look after you. So if you have a question or two about what life could entail at the Village Baxter, I'm sure everybody would be more than happy to answer any queries or suggestions that you might have. So that's the opening day then, coming up for the Village Baxter on Sunday the 14th from 9 a.m. Should be a fun day for one and all.
It will be.
Time for us to thank our guests today. Thank you very much indeed to our friends from the Village Baxter. Of course, we were speaking to Tom Camp today as well from Encore Living. We had also Damien in here as well from the Village Glen, and of course Stuart Shaw, who will be welcoming everybody, I'm sure, on Sunday week the 14th.
Mm.
Paula, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the Age Stage
today.
Thank
you for having me. It's been a great day.
And also, once again, can we mention the Parliamentary Secretary, Sharon Knight, and her mum, who lives down here in Mornington as well.
Yes.
Great to know that we have a keen listener.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we do. We have many keen listeners.
Age Stage, proudly brought to you by the Village Baxter, by the Village Glen, and Encore Living. Paula and I will be back at the same time next week. Have a very safe week, everyone. See you then.
Bye now.
Across the peninsula, 98.7, 98.3, RPPFM.
Hi, Brendan again. Just dropping by very quickly before we take you to the news at the top of the clock with just a little bit of an update on the Seniors Festival. As we were talking with the Parliamentary Secretary, Sharon Knight, and Paula just a little while ago, it is, of course, the Seniors Festival week and the big weekend kicking off in the city this coming Sunday, the 8th. But you don't have to go quite that far if you would like to get involved. And if you are a senior, let me remind you that both the Mornington and Frankston councils have a lot on offer over the next couple of weeks or so. At the Frankston Council, just get in touch with them and they're more than happy to take you through some of the big Seniors Festival events that they've organised. Day trips, come and try sessions, workshops, special discount offers as well. Get a copy of the festival booklet from the council at the council offices, community locations as well, or go online. And for more information, if you want to, you can speak to the Frankston Council direct on 1300 322 322. So that's a big week of festivities, big few weeks of festivities organised for the Seniors Festival by the Frankston Council. Do get in touch with them for more. And for those of you a little bit further south, down on the Mornington Peninsula itself, the Briars are opening up their facilities over the next couple of weeks or so. In fact, on Wednesday the 11th, a big Briars Historic Homestead opening, including ranger-guided walks, Shire Nursery will be open, Josephine's Restaurant as well, and other eco-living display centre observations and openings as well, both the 11th and the 13th. Like tea and refreshments are provided. So if you'd like to get in touch with the Briars, then do get along and see them, because they've got a big Seniors Week planned at the Briars starting the 11th of October. 5974-3686 is the telephone number you need for them. And speaking about local news as well, raising awareness of elder abuse, you're invited to attend a community forum on Wednesday the 11th in Hastings to learn how to protect your rights and prevent elder abuse as you age. Council of Mornington Shire takes a very keen interest in these matters, and if you would like to get along, then there is, as I said, at the in Hastings, you're invited to a community forum there. It's all happening at the Hastings Community Hub. That's 1973 Frankston Flinders Road in Hastings, happening on Wednesday the 11th, 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. No bookings are required. Afternoon tea is provided, raising awareness of elder abuse on the Mornington Shire. News coming up next right here on RPPFM. Then don't go too far away. Dennis and James along for the big show just after the news.